Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very new episode of Chase Your Dream. As we all know, stress plays an unavoidable part in everyone's life. Certain factors influencing stress hampers our day-to-day life. For example, a student faces exam stress, an employee faces work overload stress, an elderly faces health stress. With this note, we will discuss today about stress management, and with us here from New York is Garcia. Rita Garcia. Rita, welcome to my show.
Thank you so much, Human. It's a pleasure.
So, Rita, we want to understand, what do we mean by the term stress?
Well, the way I define stress is anything that makes your heartbeat faster, that elevates your blood pressure, that makes you your body has a reaction to it, your mind has a reaction to it. You may feel nervous, afraid, panicky. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, stress is really a normal part of our life, really. I mean, there's a reason why we have stress. It's so we can defend ourselves, so we can run into action, so we can, you know, be alert to things that we need to watch out for. But in our modern society, what has happened is a lot of those sort of older stresses don't exist anymore. We're not worried so much about the saber-toothed tiger coming to get us, right? But we do have a lot of emotional stressors. So less physical threats that would make us want to go into action, and more emotional things, like you said, an exam coming up, or trying to get a job, or feeling like you need to break up with your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. There's a million stress. I mean, we can all name 5,000 different things that can stress you out. But it's really a response of the body and the mind to something that usually needs to change, you need to take action on, or that you want to get away from. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Perfect. So we come across widely two types of stress. One is positive stress and one is negative stress. So what is positive stress, and what is negative stress, and how it hampers our day-to-day life?
So I like to make a lot of stresses into positive stresses more than negative stresses. So like a positive stress would be something like something you're going for, a challenge in your life that you're going for that's going to turn out to be rewarding to you. You know, like you have your exams, and when you pass your exams, then you'll graduate, or you're getting married, or you're engaged. These are positive, very positive stresses. A negative stress, in my mind, would be like a death in the family, or you have an illness that you're worried about and stressed about, or losing a job. All of those things happen in our lives. For me, I like to take a lot of maybe those negative ones and try to flip them over. So not to deny that maybe, you know, losing someone, it's not like it's a great thing to lose someone at all. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we can take those as opportunities to go in deeper and really use them as opportunities to reach out to people to get support. We can use, like, if you lose your job, that could be very stressful, but it also could be an opportunity to find something different that you really love to do, or a new opportunity, things like that. So one of the things that I talk about with people when they're going under any stress is, you know, not to negate the feelings that they're having, but an opportunity to not only have those feelings and process them, but to welcome in the new opportunities that could be coming. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. So we want to know, in a wider scale, what are the causes of an organizational stress?
The causes of organizational stress?
Yes.
When you say organizational stress, how do you define that?
Organizational stress, as we can define it, as somebody attached within your organization, or somebody is doing a job in any organization, in whatever way it can be.
Well, I would say, you know, one of the biggest stressors that I see when I work with professional moms, so these are women that are raising their family and they have a career. So one of the biggest stressors they have is their schedule, is the schedule. It's like how we set things up to make things more or less stressful. So in other words, are you trying to do everything in one day? You know, are you trying to build Rome in a day, or are you breaking it down into pieces that are more manageable? Mm-hmm. Are you in an environment that's supportive of you? Are you allowing yourself rest time in between work? That's another huge one that I think organizations are battling all the time, is there's only 24 hours in the day and everyone's got the same 24 hours, but how you break them up is really whether you're going to be stressed out or not.
True. So widely, what are the causes or sources of stress?
Causes of stress, for me, I would say one of the biggest causes of stress are expectations. The expectations about ourselves and the world. So if your expectation about yourself is that you're supposed to be perfect, that you're some sort of Superman or Superwoman that can get everything done in a very short period of time, or that you can never make a mistake, or that you're going to be disappointing someone depending on whether you do well or not, those set you up to have stress in general. You're going to have stress about everything and anything if those are your expectations. The other big thing is, one of the things I do with the moms that I work with is I look at root causes of what their stress is. And a lot of the root causes are about beliefs about themselves. Mm. So one of the core beliefs that we look at is, are you enough? In other words, a lot of men and women grow up feeling, believing that they are just not enough, that their mere existence is not enough, and they have to keep proving themselves over and over and over. And so when you feel like you're not enough, there's never enough you can do. There's never enough time. There's never enough love. There's never enough good stuff going on. There's always bad stuff going on. And that creates a huge amount of stress. But once you look at what these core beliefs are and dissect them and really poke holes in them, what I've noticed for myself and my clients is that the stress levels go down because they're coming from a different belief about themselves in the world.
So we have come across the term called burnout. Burnout is a troublesome outcome of stress. So if you can highlight burnout on a bigger scale.
So I was a big burnout person. I burned out on a lot of things in my life. And one of the things I noticed about burnout is once again, the expectations were really high for me about what I was able to do and how I was going to do it and in what time frame. And what I noticed is when you're constantly hitting up against these expectations and not meeting the expectations, eventually your body just can't do it. Your mind and your body just can't keep up. It feels like you're trapped. And when you feel like you don't have any power to change that, you will burn out. So in other words, when I was a social worker in New York City, I had an expectation that I was going to save people, which was like the absolutely wrong expectation to have, but I had it nonetheless. I was very kind of naive. I also thought I could save them in a very short amount of time. So not only did I not save them, I wasn't even keeping up with my own schedule on it. And because I didn't really learn that lesson very well, it got to the point where I didn't want to go to work anymore. I was having panic attacks. I felt like a failure. Not any little amount of progress meant anything to me. I lost enthusiasm for what I was doing. And I burned out. I had to do something completely different, change gears, which turned out to be a good thing for me. So while I wouldn't recommend burnout for people, sometimes burnout is an indication that either you're doing something with wrong expectations, incorrect assumptions, or this is not your line of work. Like sometimes that's just it. It's just not for you. You need to come up with something different. But not always. Sometimes it's just the way you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. So how to handle stress?
So the first thing I would say is one of the things that stress doesn't survive well in is when you're really, really present. In other words, I know it sounds cliche because everyone talks about this all the time, but if you've got your mind in the past or in the future, then you're not paying attention to the present. You're just not paying attention to what's happening now. And stress lives in both those places. The stress of regret lives in the past, and the stress of, you know, the future, what's going to happen and all the unknowns. But when you're really just very present and here and now, then what you'll notice is there may be some stress in just, but it's so manageable. It's much more manageable than you think it is, that it starts to dissipate a little bit as you keep staying present. So one thing is staying present. Another is slowing down. One of the things that I found that really worked well for me when I started to feel stress in my day was to literally slow down my emotions, slow down my breathing, slow down my emotions, focus on one thing at a time. That's where you have your power, is being here now, slowing down and focusing on the one thing. For instance, if I was trying to do this interview and I was trying to knit a sweater and I was trying to have a conversation, that would be pretty stressful, and I wouldn't be doing any of them very well at all. But because I'm focused on just talking to you right now, this is so manageable. I can do this, you know, and I can manage my own emotions around it. So staying present, focused, one thing at a time, slowing down your breathing, slowing down your emotions. These are all really helpful. The other thing that really helps for me in general for stress is I know that I am a terrible, terrible predictor of the details of what's going to happen. Like, I get it wrong all the time. However, I am really good at this. I'm 100% on this. Things will work out one way or another. I'm still here. I'm still alive. Chances are I'm going to live another day. So when I realize that in general, things turn out okay. In general, I'm able to handle them. But letting go of all of the expectations of how the details are going to work out, that brings my stress level down. But I have to constantly remind myself of that.
Mm-hmm. So how it is possible to stay calm under pressure?
So slowing your breathing. So I do, you know, there's a million ways to do this. You could bring on someone who's an expert in breathing and they could show you like 15 different exercises. Mm-hmm. But for me, staying calm is just doing some belly breathing, extending my belly, breathing in through my nose, breathing out through my mouth, just like a simple, doing that just a couple of times before I'm going into a situation that feels stressful helps a lot. Staying really focused on what's going on, not jumping to the future at all, not trying to rush through anything, but just really staying with things and seeing how they unfold. Mm-hmm. And trusting they're going to unfold in whatever way they need to unfold and that I'll be able to handle that helps a lot. Sometimes if I'm going to do something that I've never done before, or maybe I'm doing something that in the past has made me stressed, I will rehearse it in my head. I'll prepare. I'll decide, okay, I'm going to, you know, go on stage and I'm going to talk to these people. And I'm just going to do it one step at a time. I have prepared my notes. I'm going to read them if I need to. My intention for this is to not fall off the stage, you know, hopefully have some response from the audience that's positive. But even if it's not, I'm still going to just love and accept myself. And when I prepare myself that way and just know that I'm going to be able to handle whatever happens, I feel so much calmer, because I've prepared, I've done my best. I'm taking it one step at a time, one breath at a time, and I still love myself no matter what happens. So I can't really lose.
Mm-hmm. So we have also come across the term called accomplishment, and you're working on that part also. So if you can throw some light on that.
Say that again, the accomplishment?
Yeah, we have come across this term called accomplishment, and you are working on that term also. So throw some light on this.
I didn't hear that one word before, accomplishment.
What I'm asking is, we have come across the term called accomplishment, a person who's accomplished with a lot of things, actually. So you're working on that term. So throw some light on this term.
How on do you being define? Accomplished?
Yeah.
How do you be accomplished?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things, I think there's a lot of pressure to be really accomplished. And so I would say, first of all, relax a little bit. You've got your life to do this. It's not a sprint. You know, accomplishment is not just gathering the toys, you know. It's not having the most toys. It's about having things that are meaningful to you,
mm-hmm.
That bring joy to you, and that you have high quality. To me, it's I rather have a few high quality accomplishments than a million not very meaningful, kind of shallow accomplishments, right? So, so first I would say, you are not your accomplishments. You're more than that. You're so much more than any accomplishments that you have. So when you build from there, you are willing to weather the highs and lows of things, because mm-hmm. it's not about just gathering things for your resume and to, you know, brag about at the next gathering that you're in, but it's about things that reflect who you are at your core, things that are really meaningful to you. So mm-hmm. for instance, I feel like I'm an accomplished mother. I get to raise children, and has it been easy? No. Are there rough spots? Yes. But it feels like an accomplishment because it's something I wanted to do from a very core level. It's been extremely rewarding to watch beings grow up with your guidance and then go off into the world. And if that's all I did with my life, I'd be pretty happy. But I also had the opportunity to do other meaningful things, like the work I do with moms is so meaningful to me. It's a joy to do every day. I don't feel like I even work at it. When I'm with doing my coaching with them, a lot of people would name that an accomplishment, and I'd be like, it's an accomplishment that's such a joy to do. It doesn't feel like work at all. Mm-hmm. I've also authored a few books, which mm-hmm. is another thing I really wanted to do. It was a meaningful thing for me. It wasn't just like so I could show off that I wrote a book. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much that goes into writing a book that if it's just to show off, there are other quicker things you can do. It's not worth it.
Right.
So it's the learning. It's the process. The accomplishments are not just the end result. They're really the process of getting there and who you become in the process of getting there.
Mm-hmm. You are doing a lot of things with moms. So we want to know exactly what you are doing.
So I work with moms who are just like me. So moms who are, maybe they got a kid or three or four, they're raising them, and they also have this passion. They want to express themselves as individuals. And so maybe they're building a career, or they have a passion that they want to express, or they have a full-time job. And they're trying to juggle all these balls, and they've lost themselves completely. They don't know who they are. They're never at the top of the list or always at the bottom of the list. A lot of times they don't have much of a social life. They don't have a lot of balance in their life. And so when they come to me, they are definitely stressed out, overwhelmed, don't even know what they want half the time, feel like their relationships maybe in parenting or marriage or with their family isn't great. And they really feel like they're struggling in what they're trying to grow in terms of their career or passion. And what I do with them is I help them get to the root causes of why they're so stressed and overwhelmed. And it was a lot of what we talked about, their core beliefs, they're, you know, dwelling in the past or projecting into the future. They're trying to go too fast. They're trying to accomplish too much too soon. They have expectations that are not working for them. And once we get to those root causes, then I have a whole slew of strategies that I use to help them alleviate the stress. And a lot of it is around self-compassion. which is really giving yourself a break, getting to know yourself, loving yourself, accepting yourself.
Mm-hmm. So you're also an author. So when you
Yes.
first realized that this writing skills inbuilt within you?
You know, it's funny. I've been writing my whole life. I used to write, you know, obviously in school you have to write. And then I was in graduate school for social work and you had to write papers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did comedy and I was writing comedy skits. So I knew I could do things with words that were, you know, powerful or impactful. And then it was just something, you know, I think a lot of people walk around going, I think I'll write a book someday. And then and I was writing blogs for my business, and I ran across a course where for a few $100s, you could learn how to write a book. It was a mini book, so it was like literally a small book, and then it would be attached to your website in some way. So someone would buy your book, and then they could access the exercises for your book on your website.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that course, and as I was writing the book, the book was pretty easy to write. I decided to take 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week to write it. That was how I broke it down for myself, because I knew I could be consistent with that. But sometimes it was more than 20 minutes. There's 20 minutes minimum. And it took me, you know, maybe a month to write all that out. And then the biggest bump was the editing, because as I was editing, I decided some of my friends were going to be editors. So they were nice enough to give me feedback. And as I started getting feedback, I noticed my stress levels shot up really high, really, really high. And I remember I was in taking a bath, and I just had this feeling like I wanted to kill myself. And I went, whoa, I know I don't want to do that, but I'm having those thoughts. What is that about? And I realized that when I was in high school, I had a teacher, an English teacher, who I don't think he was malicious or anything, but kind of, I asked him for feedback on a paper that I was writing, and because he gave me a B instead of an A, right? And I was like, why is this a B paper? And he said, I can't tell you why, just some people are B-level writers and some are A-level writers. And that stuck with me, that I just was not good enough. He couldn't even give me, I think he was tired or whatever, or maybe I was haranguing him, but mm-hmm. I came away from that as a kid thinking, some people are good at this and some people are just not. And so when I started getting all that editing feedback, it broke, something in me just burst, that feeling of, wow, maybe I can't do this. Maybe I'm a terrible writer. I thought I was an okay writer, but maybe I'm worse than I thought. And that memory came up from that teacher that basically said, like, you'll never be good enough type thing. That's how I took it. And it was so strong that it made me want to, like, end my life, which is, you know, wow, what the heck? So I realized that needed to be cleared. That needed to be dealt with before I was going to move forward with this book. And I got some help with that, and I cleared it. And once I cleared that, I finished the book pretty quickly, got it published, and went, wow, I wrote a book, and it's pretty good. And, I remember someone close to me read it and kind of went, yeah, it's okay, I don't get it. And I remember having another, going down another, like, rabbit hole with that one, like, you mean you don't get it? Why don't you like it? You know, and then I learned from that, this book is not for everyone. It's not. It's really mm-hmm. not. Mm-hmm. And just because that person didn't like it or didn't get it, didn't mean it wasn't a good book for someone else. So I learned that lesson. And then from there, I started to explore other things that I was interested in. I was interested in, the first book was about abundance, because I was really interested in that. I learned a lot by doing research on that book. I felt very abundant after that book, actually. And then I decided I'm going to focus on love. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a book, it's a free book on my website called Outside the Box Love Experiments, which is just about how to expand your capacity to be loved and to love.
Okay.
Because I was doing that in my own life. I was experimenting. So I thought, oh, I'll just write a book about it. So I did that. And then this most recent book is all about self-compassion, because that was another huge, huge lesson for me to learn, was that maybe being kind and gentle to myself had some merit, not just, you know, working harder. I had tried just working harder and faster, and it wasn't helping. And maybe I just need to take a step back and have some self-compassion. And that had such an impact on me that I made a course called the Compassion Course. And then I wrote a book. Some of the people in the course said, you know, you should really write a book about this. And I thought, I'll have a lot more reach that way. And I wrote the Self-Compassion Project from there. So that's my latest published book. And I'm in the middle of writing another one now about something else. But writing a book is a great vehicle through which you grow. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking of writing a book, it's an excellent, excellent way to do development, personal development work, because you do go through a roller coaster ride with it. You have to face a lot of things when you're writing a book.
Do you think someone could be a writer if they don't feel emotions strongly?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think it depends on the kind of book you're writing. I mean, you can write about a whole bunch of things. You can write, I mean, people write manuals about how to use things. There's no emotion in a manual, right? So if you're writing like a how-to, you could totally do that. It just depends on the subject matter, really. And then you have to figure out how are you going to engage your reader. I mean, you can write an instruction manual, no problem, mm-hmm. with no emotion. But if you want someone to be engaged with your work and keep going with it, to learn more, you may have to have some emotion in there. You may have to do a story or two and dig a little bit. It helps. Mm-hmm. Emotion helps.
Okay. So how many unpublished and half-finished books do you have right now?
So published, I have 3 books. Two of them are self-published. One of them is a publisher has republished it for me.
Okay.
And then I have a book that I'm on like the second draft of. And then I also have a CD, which are MP4s as well, of some guided meditations that I did. So that's pretty much all of it. Besides my like college dissertation.
Okay. So what message do you like to give to my audience?
So it's the one that I learned really, really in the beginning of my journey into self-compassion, which is to ask yourself this question. Can you right now, just this moment, be really kind and gentle with yourself? Can you do that? And can you accept this moment and who you are in this moment? And I found that when people ask that question and they just give themselves a few minutes and close their eyes and just sit with that, mm-hmm. some really interesting things happen. Ooh, did I lose you?
No, I'm there. Carry on.
Okay. So what happened for me is that I became very aware of how I was feeling in the moment. And, you know, can I be kind and gentle with myself? And I just kind of visualized myself being nice to me instead of the usual, which was, what's wrong with you? Why can't you do that right? You're failing at this. It turned into like, okay, I'm just going to be kind to you right now. And it changed my life forever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you could step into my shoes, what question that you have asked yourself, which I haven't?
What would I ask me if I was you?
Yeah.
That's a good question. What's your biggest challenge today in your life?
Yeah. So once you've asked that, please answer.
Okay, I knew I knew there was a catch to that. I would say my biggest challenge is being aware that my mind will always come up with a problem, no matter how great things are going. It's the mind loves coming up with problems and making up stories about this or that, and that you need to solve them, you need to solve them now, or you can't be happy. And my challenge is remembering that that's what the mind does, and not to fall for it so often, you know, to just go, oh, that's what the mind does. It makes up these problems. And really, a lot of times there's no problem at all. And to allow myself to just rest in that space of no problem, no problem. Everything will unfold the way it needs to unfold. Just to remember that. Excellent. And to, you know, love my mind because it's doing a job. It's so hard. It works so hard.
So with that, we have come to the end of this episode today. It was an absolute honor to have you as a guest in my show. Thank you. And we are humbled that we get you as a guest.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. And I'm glad after all this time, we finally got to talk.
The pleasure is entirely mine. Thank you.